Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning, as always, is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. How are things in your world?
Going pretty well. Put Holly on a plane this morning so she can go earn Peyton Abbey some additional check. We watched Downton Abbey last night, and I've got football fever. I'm not even a football fan, and now I'm excited about football.
That you watched the game, the Falcons game yesterday?
I watched enough to know that we won.
That's all that matters. The last 11 seconds.
And so Miami Dolphins, you guys are out of it. You're done, right?
Yeah, we've been done for weeks.
So you watched Atlanta?
Yes.
All right, so you're excited too or not really?
Yes,
you're
on
to something
very
else.
Very excited.
And you're excited about Downton Abbey as well, or I haven't gotten
you know that. That's I live for that. I don't watch that show at all. I have no idea what it's about. It's some British show. And Benny Hill's not in this one.
Benny
right?
Hill's
so
not
I'm
in this
not
one.
I'm not interested.
Well, will you stay awake and pay attention to the show we're doing now?
Will yes,
you
I will. That? Yes,
right.
I will.
And you'll go back and listen to it, right?
This show?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I listen to it.
Well, we have
shows.
A fantastic show lined up. This is our Dunwoody Chamber special that we do monthly. And we're going to get a chance to hear from Phil Gura, president with Gura Law, General Counsel Services. We're going to get a chance to visit with Debbie Smith with Design 7. And as often the case, we have Debbie Fuse with the Dunwoody Chamber with us. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. I'm glad to be back.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Now, we're going to get a chance throughout the show to learn about all the cool stuff that's happening, but any quick headlines you want to share with us about
the
Chamber?
Yeah, this is the first show of the year, Debbie.
I know there's a lot going on, and the Chamber's doing a lot of things this year, and if you didn't notice, we were in two of the three papers in Dunwoody this week, so
for good
it's been
reason?
A banner year. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Good
that's
stuff,
good.
Not bad stuff. All positive.
So what are some of the things that happened?
Well, we are looking at our plan for the upcoming year and the things that we're getting ready to do and the programs that we're bringing out, all mm-hmm. of which, you know, we've got our current and existing programs that we've been doing for the past year, but the new programs that we're bringing forward, one of the things will be Leadership Dunwoody. We're actually looking at that being a youth group for leadership.
And how are you defining youth?
I believe they're looking at anyone through high school.
High school and mm-hmm. older?
Yeah. Under, actually.
High school and under?
Under,
oh.
Yes. So through
elementary
high school.
School, kindergarten,
not
you know,
kindergarten,
some of these overachievers.
More like you know, there's a few of those, but I think we're probably really going to start looking at maybe probably the beginning of high school, freshmen through seniors.
I'm sure you already know this, but I followed you or maybe the Chamber last night on Twitter. I have become Uh-oh. Reacquainted with Twitter.
Have you?
Yes, I have.
How's that going for you?
I like it so far. But, I mean, it's a little overwhelming. There's a lot of folks that act like they want to have something to say to me.
Well, that's a good thing, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Except you don't need to tell them every time you go down the hall.
So just, you know what I was telling them was that we were going to have this interview, which
oh,
I
well,
guess
that's good.
You guys already knew that. But I was telling yeah. everybody else.
Good.
About this.
I like that.
Is it too early to talk about the thing that's going on in May? I mean, we probably don't have too many. Okay, yeah, give us a little bit of a headline.
Absolutely. The Business Expo is going to be happening May 2nd, and we are looking at getting about 100 vendors. We've already sold out our lunch sponsor and our presenting sponsor positions. So it's already on a roll. So
and then where is that held?
It's going to be at the Crown Plaza Ravinia this year, and we are looking at taking the entire ballroom space, so
wow.
that'll be great. It'll be a great event this year, and a lot of our businesses, we think about 100, at least 100 booths.
So it's an opportunity for them to kind of put out a table or a booth, mm-hmm. and they can kind of show their wares to anybody who's interested in learning
Excellent.
More about Dunwoody businesses all in one place.
It's the best place to be in on May 2nd, I think.
Here's a wild idea. What if they had radio there?
We Ooh. Can dream.
It would have to be the right kind of radio,
yeah,
not just
course.
Any radio.
Maybe Radio X could come. Let me think on that one.
All right. So who'd you bring with you this morning?
Well, today I brought Debbie Smith and Phil Gura. So I would like for you guys to spend some time talking about them. They actually knew each other. And I found out, Phil being one of our newest members, that Debbie is the person who talked to him about the Chamber. So I thought this would be a really perfect tie-in on how we all network together and get to know each other and how we bring other businesses forward and help promote them.
Outstanding. Okay, well, good. Then first up on High Velocity Radio this morning, we have Phil Gura. Tell us a little bit about your practice, man.
I'd be happy to do that. This is a new venture for me, although I have been practicing law for as my children would say, longer than dirt. I graduated from law school at Georgetown in 1984 and have been practicing corporate law ever since with a number of law firms, and a number of which don't even exist anymore. But I've been in Atlanta since that time, and as I said, have 30 years of legal knowledge behind me, and this is my first time out on my own. So as was said earlier, I've known Debbie forever. Our kids were in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts together, and she's been a really good friend. And she was kind enough to help me with my logo and my website and getting myself organized. But literally, almost the first thing she said to me was, you got to join the chamber. During our first meeting. So I investigated, and she gave me a name, and I called and showed up on Friday, and they said, how'd you like to be on the radio on Monday morning? And I said...
See the power of the chamber? That's pretty impressive.
Aren't we awesome?
You are absolutely. Talk about immediate results. I mean, you can't do any better than that.
Now, can you talk a little bit about going from kind of the big law world into the kind of micro law world of right. Now you're on your own, and it's right. Kind of an eat what you kill world now.
Yes.
And that has to be a transition that you had never gone through before. Now you're an entrepreneur, not just a lawyer.
Right.
So can you talk about how that evolved and how it's been for you?
Absolutely. One of the things that's interesting about it is that all of my friends, now that they're finding out about this, have said essentially the same thing, which is, wow, that must be exciting. And I say, if by exciting you mean mortally terrifying, then yes, it is. Yes, absolutely. It's very, very exciting. But I will say the biggest hurdle I had to get over was having lived in big law firms and big companies my entire career. I've mm-hmm. had 10 years sitting in general counsel seats at big sure. companies, and longer than that working in big law firms. And so your assumption is that you can't do it on your own. Your assumption is
need that whole infrastructure.
You need the whole infrastructure, and you need a huge, huge number of clients in order to survive. And
right.
so literally what got me into this was a friend of mine who is also has his own very successful practice, who looked at me at the pool one morning and said, dude, just do it. It's not that hard. And I'm sure he was lying, but but really that's what kickstarted it.
Uh-huh.
And so the real difference is that you now are you're now you, and you can do it your own way. And one of the things that Debbie was kind enough to point out is I helped her with some legal work. And her comment to me was, wow, no one's ever talked to me like a person before
right.
as opposed to a client. And I think one of the things that you learn in-house is nobody cares how smart you are. Nobody really cares where you went to law school. Nobody cares about anything other than, can you solve my problem?
Right.
And can you talk to me as if maybe I've got a clue about my own business?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like to think that I can bring to people is I've advised CEOs and CFOs and people at all levels of great big corporations. And the one thing that is the most important is if you're going to be effective, you have to be able to talk to everybody in their language. And one thing I learned from one of my mentors was you never, ever, ever beat up the client. You never beat up the client. You never talk down to the client. You recognize that the client is there for you to help them solve a problem, not for you to help them feel bad about themselves.
So do you have a sweet spot now that you're out on your own?
I absolutely do, and it's sort of what I was just talking about.
Just chamber members.
Yeah, just chamber right. members, exactly.
Name Debbie.
Name Debbie, yeah, exactly, although she hasn't sent me anything yet. but she will. My sweet spot is exactly what I was talking about. I've done this for 30 years, and what people really need on the corporate side is someone to make things easy. And so if you're forming a company, if you need to change the structure of your company, if you have intellectual property that you need to protect in your company, mm-hmm. if you have problems with your shareholders, if you have problems with management, if you need to do some sort of a transaction, or if you've been telling yourself forever, wow, you know, I should have standard forms to do these things that I do every day and not do it one-off every time, or not just use the other party's form, that's, you know, that's where I can really help somebody, is to get them to a point where they can have a lot of the same things that bigger companies can have.
Now, is the relationship with you kind of transactional, or is it something where they pay a fee and then they kind of have access to you when they need you?
It can be either. I mean, that's the wonderful thing about being on my own, is that I can do a lot of the things that I've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. One of the things I told Debbie was, we can work out a situation where for a relatively modest investment, you can have me as your general counsel. Mm-hmm. Design 7 can have a general counsel. You can call me and say, I have got this one-off 2-minute question, and you'll get an experienced 2-minute answer that probably is all you need. And then she doesn't have to worry that she's going to get an invoice.
Right.
You know, she's paid for that. Now, on the other hand, you know, I've done transactions at the highest level. So if somebody comes in and says, look, I just need you to come in and get this done in a more efficient way than I'd be able to do if I called a big law firm, you know, I'm there to do that too.
Right.
So it is, you know, it can be retainer-based, it can be task-based, it can be hourly fee, it can be success fee.
So you're flexible now, whereas before, I guess you didn't have that kind of flexibility. It was either or.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what kind of mistakes do you run across over and over again when you're consulting with new clients?
How much time do you have? Actually, the mistake that I find most often is, and this is especially true of smaller businesses because of the cost, everybody is terrified to bring a lawyer in at the beginning. Everybody loves to bring a lawyer in at the end when there's a, you know, when there's already a problem.
Right.
But the one thing I tell people, you know, over and over and over again, and this is friends too, not just clients, is let's talk. If you've got a question and you're worried about something or you're planning to buy something, call me. I will give you, you know, I will give you 2 minutes of my time. I'll give you 10 minutes of my time. I'll give you an hour of my time to keep you from making a mistake that is going to cost you big later. So the biggest mistake I find is that folks say, oh, well, let's not bring in the lawyers now because that's going to cost us a bunch.
Because people think that the meter is running as soon as you, you know, pick up the phone.
Exactly. Exactly. And I have told people over and over again when I sat in my chair as general counsel is, if you want to get business from me, make me indebted to you. Give me something I can use so that I know that when the next time comes for me to pick up the phone and when I've really got a project that I need somebody to get into,
right,
then I've already worked with you. And I know you're trustworthy. I know you've got great integrity. I know you can do what you say you can do. And I recognize that you're not in it just for you.
Right.
You're in it for me.
But isn't one of the challenges, like, you're out there now in the wild and you got to kind of fend for yourself. How do you differentiate amongst the other gazillion lawyers? And there's lots of big, small, medium lawyers.
Right.
And, you know, you're kind of just starting out.
Right.
Like, you might have been with big firms and people would return your call because you're with a big firm.
Right.
But now you're just Phil.
Right.
Phil, the lawyer guy, just next door to Bob, the lawyer guy.
Right.
You know,
right.
So differentiating yourself is hard.
It is.
And so how are you going to market?
Well, I'm going to differentiate between how I'm going to market and the question you initially asked, which was what sets me apart from everybody else, you know, Bob, the lawyer, and whoever else, the lawyer. What sets me apart is I've been in this market for the last 30 years. And one of the things that I've always made the hallmark of my practice is I am unfailingly civil. And if you look at all the lawyer jokes that are out there, what are they all based on? They're based on the fact that lawyers are not civil people, that they're out for themselves. With 30 years of practice here, I have never, ever burned a bridge. And people know me and they know that they will get two things, that they will get unfailing kindness and they will get superior quality. And so when I go out, you always trade on the currency that you've built. And so I'd be terrified to start a law firm fresh in this town because then you've
got... Without relationships,
because you've got no currency to trade on at that point. At this point, when I send out emails, what you said a moment ago is people, you know, how are people going to take your call? Well, I feel people are going to take my call because I've taken their calls over the last 30 years. And, you know, I don't charge them every time I take that
call. So it's kind of a word of mouth?
It's a word of mouth thing, but it's, you know, it's going to be obviously more precise than that. As you pointed out, I've got contacts and connections at, you know, at the companies I've worked for, at the firms I've worked for the trade associations I've represented. And one of the things I've always seen and experienced as a general counsel is you need a go-to person. I don't care if you've got big law firms on retainer. I don't care if you've got little law firms on retainer. You have to have someone you can call for, at the very least, a sanity check. Well, seriously, as I said, I've practiced for 30 years. There's very little I feel I haven't seen on the corporate side. By the same token, I don't know everything, and, you know, I don't know about you guys, I forget sometimes. And it is extremely useful to be able to pick up the phone and, without worrying that it's going to cost me $600, and call somebody up.
Is that what it can cost? For a call to a lawyer?
Yeah. I mean, for the hour, yeah, depending on who you call.
$600.
That's why they don't want to get them involved on the front end.
Right.
$600.
And more. I mean, that just depends on who you call. I mean, you call a lawyer in New York who's in a very specialized practice. That's what you're going to pay for.
Wow.
But I will tell you one thing, in defense of those folks that are charging that kind of money.
Well, all that mahogany is not free.
It's not just all the mahogany, though. My dad, who was an antitrust lawyer in New York for years and years, always told me, says, look, I would rather have 5 minutes of somebody at $600 an hour who knows the answer than, you know, 16 hours from somebody charging a lower rate who has no clue.
Who just has Google.
Yeah, exactly, who just has Google. And so, you know, a lot of these lawyers that charge that kind of money, they charge it because they're worth it. Right. You know, and when you need it, people shouldn't hesitate to pay it because, you know, they get that money because they've earned the right to get that money.
Mm-hmm.
By the same token, and one of the things that one of the things I think I can bring to bear is, you know, I feel like I'm one of those guys, but I don't have to charge $600 an hour to do what I'm doing now. So you can get that same expertise, but you're not going to pay. You don't necessarily have to pay it by the hour, and you certainly don't have to pay it at that rate.
Well, it was like you were saying earlier that when you went out on your own, you didn't have the infrastructure. And then because you don't have the infrastructure, now you can become more affordable.
Exactly. My infrastructure comes from IKEA.
Right.
Write that down. I like that quote. So how does one go about interviewing a lawyer? What questions do you even ask?
That's a great question.
That really is a good question.
That is a terrific. You did a great job that question. Nice work. The first thing you've got to figure out is, because you're going to tell your lawyer stuff that is, you know, potentially embarrassing, it's going to be sensitive, it's going to be, you're going to basically, like they do in the James Bond movie, you're going to tell that guy or that girl your plan. And, you know, you should never tell anybody your secret plan, but you're going to tell your lawyer your plan, and you need to be comfortable. You have to be comfortable enough with that person to tell them your plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people, how many people have you spoken with where they say, wow, my lawyer is great, but yeah, he scares me, or he makes me uncomfortable, or I'm not comfortable talking to him, or...
That's probably not a good fit.
And it's not a good fit, but very often people put up with that because they say, well, he's good or she's good.
Right.
And very often, you know, you do sometimes have to do that in order to get the expertise.
But optimally, wouldn't you like someone good that you can have a conversation with?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the whole idea, is that you have to be comfortable enough to entrust, hey, I screwed this up.
Right.
And I'm really in trouble. You're not gonna say that to someone who makes you feel intimidated or uncomfortable. So you're gonna hide stuff, and it's like it's the same stupidity as going to the doctor about something that is really troubling you and lying to her, and saying, you know, and soft selling your symptoms and all of that. And you do that because why? Because that person is wearing a white coat and scares you. You can't have that. If you're going to have the kind of relationship that pays you dividends with a lawyer, you have to be comfortable enough to say, I've got this rash.
Right.
And that's the analogy. And so the very first thing you should figure out when you talk to your lawyer is, do I feel comfortable with this person? Would I be willing to share my secret plan? Would I be willing to tell him I screwed up? Would I be willing to disagree with him or her? That's another thing that's very important is it is the client's business. It's not the lawyer's business. I have opinions about how things should work, and you know, I may be thinking in the back of my head, wow, this is how I'd do that. But guess what? It's not my company and it's right. not my money. And so my job is to get you where you need to be in the way you want to get there. Now, I'm going to tell you if it's illegal. I'm going to tell you if it's immoral. And if I know you well enough, I may tell you that I think it's stupid. But if you decide to do something that I think is stupid, that's still okay. It's not against the law.
Right.
And it's my job to get you where you need to be.
I'm intrigued with this idea that you can actually serve as my chief counsel, even if I'm a small organization or a startup. And incidentally, I think this is a fantastic idea for startups, Lee. I mean, we've been hanging out with those guys for a while. Speak to that a little bit more before we wrap.
Yep. Well, absolutely. And that's what I do think is the sweet spot is one of the things that big companies have as an advantage is you've got a go-to lawyer who is available to you at a moment's notice to address, you know, the little things that crop up every day and startups in particular because they don't have the infrastructure built. They don't have, you know, they don't have forms. They don't have people who know. They may not have a, you know.
Well, they don't know what they don't know.
And they don't know what they know. There's the Rumsfeld, the unknowns, the unknown unknowns are what is going to really hurt us. But having the ability to be able to call that person and the power, let's say that you're negotiating a software license or something like that. They're going to put their lawyer on the phone. What are you going to do? You're not going to put your lawyer on the phone typically because you don't have one. And so you're going to put you on the phone. And you're not going to know the ins and outs. And you would not believe the number of times, and this goes back to your earlier question about mistakes people make. What do lawyers love to tell people when you're negotiating a contract? Anybody?
What?
Litigation, mediation is a good thing.
No, I'm not that kind of lawyer. No, what are they going to say? They're going to say, oh, this is standard. We get this from everybody. This is absolutely standard. Why would you even ask about this? No one has ever even raised this before. This has been in our document for
so they make it seem like
600
this,
years. Right. It's the Magna Carta. No one has ever, nobody has ever asked to change it. Well, you know, I will tell you from experience, A, that's not true. B, people have asked about it. And C, saying something is standard is what you say when you don't have a good argument for why it's in there. And I know that because I've used that before.
We just got our $600 worth right there.
There's your $600 worth right there. So, and as a matter of fact, if I was giving out a piece of free advice, I would tell everybody out there that if you read something and you don't understand it, ask. Because if the guy on the other end of the phone can't explain it to you, then it's probably not good for you.
Debbie, you got to love having this guy on the team over there at Dunwoody.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. We just really had an opportunity to really sit down and talk the other day, and it was great because I did the same thing. It was like everybody typically won't call the lawyer because it's going to cost them a ton of money, and I remember not that long ago that I needed to ask a question. And I was like, well, who am I going to call to ask this question? Because everybody I was told to call was like $800 a minute, you know?
Phil, what's
and now you know.
What's the best way, Phil, for people to reach out and learn more and have a conversation with
you? The best way is you can get me at phil@guralaw.com. That's GURALAW.com. You can call me on my cell phone. That's 770-312-1005. And thanks to the woman sitting next to me, I have a wonderful new website, and that is www.guralaw.com. And I have been emailing her constantly, running out of superlatives, basically saying, I cannot believe what you did for me. And, you know, I've sent it to my family. I've sent it to my friends. You know, and Debbie keeps telling me, quit sending it to people. It's not done. But it is, it's wonderful. And I've always known that Debbie was talented, but she's absolutely outdone herself for me. And I'm thrilled.
Outstanding. Well, listen.
Great
how about,
lead in.
Yeah, terrific lead in. How about hanging out with us while we visit
Absolutely.
With Debbie number two or Debbie number one?
Debbie number three.
Debbie number three.
We're just full of Debbies over at the Chamber, aren't we?
On the High Velocity Radio Show, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the highly endorsed, Debbie Smith with Design 7. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. And thank you, Phil. That was a wonderful lead in. I appreciate that.
Well, we're delighted to have you and excited to talk about graphic design. I suspect that is a phrase, a term that maybe people think they understand better than they do. Give us an overview of your work and what you're out there trying to do for folks.
Sure. I am the owner of Design 7, which is a graphic design company based here in Dunwoody. Founded in 1990, and so I too have a good 30 years under my belt as a professional graphic designer.
Notice how we just freely admit that.
We do. It's great. It's great. Well, when you're looking for new clients or talking about your company, it's great to have that level of experience. And actually, a lot of the things that Phil said about his law firm and referencing experience and places he's been and people he's worked with are true with my business as well. I started in the corporate world doing graphic design. I remember when the Macintosh came out, so I was old school learning and went from there to working in advertising agencies and then for other small graphic design firms in Atlanta until I started my own, as I said, in 1990. So at Design 7, we specialize in all things graphic design. For our larger corporate clients, we get involved in designing marketing and communications materials. We do a lot of online and print design and advertising. We do front-end website design, which is different than back-end. We could talk about that later. People do have misunderstandings sometimes about what is web design, what is graphic design, what is advertising, all those things. And then for a lot of our smaller or medium-sized corporations, we act as their design department, their creative department. We'll do everything from their logos, their branding for a startup company, their websites. We will get involved in their product launches, packaging. Anything that gets printed on paper or you see online that's visual is what we do at Design 7. Around Dunwoody, I've done a lot of work, a lot of free stuff as a mom, a PTA person, and in memberships and different organizations like Boy Scouts. Design 7 was always the newsletter people. We've done some work for our own chamber here. We did the branding for the Perimeter Coffee Connections program, which was a fun program and something that's well worth investigating if you haven't yet. We also designed the branding and worked with the people over at Dunwoody Nature Center, do all their advertising. We did work for the Dunwoody Sustainability Commission. So I love Dunwoody. I've been a resident here for 30 years. Well, I guess more like 20 years in Dunwoody. And I was thrilled that the city became a city. And I've been really impressed with the chamber here in Dunwoody and why I recommended it to Phil as a startup, even though he also has lived in Dunwoody many years. It was really amazing to me how the diversity of companies, small and large, right here in Dunwoody, and the teams that can be built with the consultants that live in Dunwoody, the opportunities for the larger corporations in Dunwoody just to look around in their own backyard and get extremely experienced and top-notch professionals throughout Dunwoody. So I've had a great time. I've gotten some referrals to my company. I've referred other people to members, companies that I've met in the chamber.
Now, what's a mistake that a person makes? Like, say they have a startup and they don't know what to do regarding graphic design, and you know what do they do wrong?
I know the answer to this one.
Go ahead.
You have your niece do it. Professional.
That is one.
Your artistic niece?
Clip art.
Is that what it is?
Artistic niece, you know, brother's roommates, mm-hmm. best friend. Not to say that they're not an experienced designer, but the key to getting, if you are a startup or a small business, your logo and the way you look and your packaging, that is what the world sees. And we cannot underestimate human beings' reaction to things that don't look good. Human beings are very visual people. You may have the best company, the best product, but if it doesn't look good, it just going to bother people. The color is going to bother people, and they're going to make a judgment about that product or your company. So what you really need to do is find a graphic designer that you can trust, just like you would a lawyer. You need to sit down with that person, share your vision, share what's in your head, share your little napkin sketches if you have any, and look to them to be the professional to take what you've said and what it is that you're trying to communicate to that next level. And if you work with a good graphic design company or person, they will get it. You may go through several rounds to get the logo that you think is perfect, but a good professional graphic designer, they've studied typography, they've studied color, they have the experience to make you look like what you want to look like.
I'll tell you a mistake that Debbie kept me from making was we went through the preliminary stages of, you know, she interviewed me. She asked me what I wanted the logo to say. She showed me a number of logos, and she said, which one of these speak to you? We went through that together, and she produced 6 wonderful designs. They were all beautiful. And I looked at them, and I had an immediate reaction, and my first thought was, great, let's print the business cards. We're ready to go. And Debbie stopped me, and she said, no, absolutely not. Put these up on your wall and live with them for a while and see which one of these you gravitate back towards, because you will. I would have picked – the one I would have picked first would have been – it would have been beautiful, but it would not have been my logo. And the one I eventually picked, which I absolutely adore now and keep clicking on it obsessively, is one that I liked the least when I first saw it.
Oh, initially it was the one.
It was the one I liked the least.
How about that?
And she didn't say a word. She just said, put them up on your wall and live with them. And I was – and that – it made me impatient. But she was so right.
Did you ask other people?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. She told me to. Basically, I showed it around to people. And what she was saying about the power of a logo, people will see stuff in it that you never saw. Mm-hmm. I have had so many people say, oh, you picked this logo because it looks like the tablets of the law. I had my brother comment on the colors. He said, oh, you picked these colors because they look like legal reporters that you'd see in a library. And, of course, I would nod sagely and say,
yes,
oh, absolutely. I'm glad you picked up on that. No clue.
Right.
No clue. But you have no idea what people will see in it. But mm-hmm. when you gravitate towards something she's created, there's a reason for it that you keep coming back to it. Wow, I don't know if I really like it, but I keep coming back to it. Why is that?
Sure.
And that's what Debbie's talking about creating something that really speaks to you.
Now, Debbie, what is the process? Like if you were working with Phil, what was the beginning steps, and how do you go from, hey, here are some ideas or here are some things I like? Because I would imagine everybody's like, well, I really like Apple, you know? Like everybody likes like the really cool certain designs. But not everybody can look like Apple, and that's not appropriate for everybody.
True. I think the very first thing that's absolutely critical, and why you don't want to use clip art or have someone design your logo that you haven't sat down and really talked with, is that initial interview. And I always go to the interview myself, and I wanted to do it face-to-face. Mm-hmm. And I really, my goal at that interview is to really understand what this business person is thinking for his company's logo or his product's logo, what his vision is. And so if he were to say to me or she were to say to me, I love the Apple logo, I'm going to say why. Because it's a fruit, because it's colorful. I mean, whatever. I want to know the whys, and I will listen to them talk. I'll pay special attention to their body language and how excited they get when they're talking about certain things, because those are clues for me. It's almost like being a psychologist, because I really want to know what makes them tick, why they're doing what they're doing. I remember a meeting I had with a woman who was starting a new business, and she was starting it because she created this little product just for convenience for herself. And it just got popular. She didn't mean for it to get popular. It just started getting popular. So she then decided, everybody was telling her, you should start a business with this. This is great.
Right.
So we sat down and she was explaining it to me. And she was just talking in such a monotone, sort of like, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I just was getting such a disconnect. She didn't have that startup excitement that most
passion,
people
right.
do. Right. And so I said, well, so what do you do in your hobbies? Oh, she said, and then she launched into this whole program that she did with underprivileged kids and taught them how to, you know, use animals in their therapy. And she just lit up. And I just looked at her and I said, you know, that should be your business. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, that's what you're passionate and excited about. She goes, well, I couldn't make money at that. And I said, I don't know. I said, you're so excited about it. How could you not? And so, you know, time went on and I sent her a proposal for her original project and she said she would get back to me and she never did. I reached back out to her and she said, oh, I'm still thinking about it. And I wasn't a bit surprised at all. And so I guess what I'm looking for at that first interview is that passion, that excitement, and that can translate then into colors and images. I don't know how to explain the next step. I think that's part of, you know, talents that we're all born with. I happen to be lucky to be born artistic, and things just come to me in a very visual way. I often, immediately when I finish the meeting with the client, will come back, and I will just sketch out things. And 9 times out of 10, one of those little ideas that I sketched will grow into the final logo. It happened from something that they said in that conversation. So the next step after that is I would come back and I do, as Phil described, I will do as many iterations as I think is appropriate or that I can think of. And they're not completely thought out because I often find that design, I believe this is true for all design professionals, it's most pure when it's first from the artist. For example, if an artist takes out a clean canvas and paints on it, what he puts down there first is the most pure, the purest thought that came from his creative mind. Now, he may refine it or alter it or change it, but if you go back and look at that original creative concept, it's often the best one. And that's true with graphic design and web design, anything designing. You often hear, you know, from designers that they start out with something that's beautiful and perfect, but through, you know, many, many committees and many, many iterations, it just loses something. You know, that's just part of it. It's design by committee, I guess, is what I've heard it called. And there's something to learn from that, and that is the more people mess with something, the more complicated it can sometimes become.
And then maybe it dilutes that initial spark.
Exactly. That spark is real important, and I think that graphic designers and creative people in general, it's something that needs to be celebrated about their profession. I mean, it's not as tangible as going to school to maybe learn something or getting, you know, something concrete like you would engineering, but it is something to be celebrated that there are these creative people out there that can just take what you say and what you're dreaming of and put it in a tangible form to present to the world.
And now, are there organizations here in town that kind of support the graphic design person?
Yes, absolutely. The professional organization for graphic design is AIGA, and you can go to it. It's American Institute of Graphic Arts, but the initials are AIGA.org. They have chapters all over the country.
There's some here in town?
Yes, there is an Atlanta chapter. I was actually one of the founding members of the Atlanta chapter. That shows you how old I go back. And one of the presidents way back in the day. I was the first membership chairman. Mm-hmm. As why Phil is here, I like people to join things. So it's a great organization. They have great programs for students and, you know, seasoned professionals. I think every professional graphic designer, if they're not part of it, should check it out.
Now, do you find yourself gravitating towards certain types of organizations like a food packaging industry or professional services, or does it just kind of bubble up and come from where it comes from as a result of all your work in the community? Or?
Most of my business is through referrals, and I love design. I love designing anything. I think a good graphic designer can design anything. you do tend to gravitate towards certain types of companies because one company will see your work and then a like-minded company will come and use you because of the work that you did for that company. And sometimes you find that that's a niche that you like to be in, and that's great. For me, I've never been able to put myself in one category or another. I love corporate work, the real clean, sophisticated work that you see large corporations do. And I love, designing pink and brown things for little kid companies. So I just think it depends on the graphic designer, really.
Yeah, Den 11 at our Cub Scout pack was the only den with its own newsletter.
We had our brand new-
Did you go with pink and brown? Or
it was not pink and brown.
So true.
So you mentioned membership director at the chamber, yeah?
Oh no. I was the membership director at AIGA. When I first started out.
So you enjoyed that.
We may have to talk about that.
Well, I'm going to say she's obviously some sort of membership director, whether it's official or not for you guys.
Obviously. We're going to have to talk a little bit more there.
Well, let's do talk a little bit about your relationship with the chamber, what's got you fired up about it, and why you're willing to go out and tell people like Phil, hey, you got to get involved with the chamber, that kind of thing.
Well, prior to being in the chamber, most of the clients that I worked with are all over the Atlanta area, and that's great. It's nice to have a good client base throughout the city. I was interested in finding out more about the businesses locally. I don't really like to sit in traffic to go to meetings way down south of the airport. And the more I was looking around Dunwoody, I was thinking there are a lot of businesses in Dunwoody that probably need a graphic design firm and don't know that I am right here in Dunwoody. And so I joined the chamber. It was actually my New Year's resolution of last year. And you know, I don't know about other businesses. I'm sure some business owners enjoy the whole networking and getting out there process of finding new customers and clients. But for me personally, it is a chore. And so one huge benefit to joining the Dunwoody Chamber for me was I was pretty sure after living in Dunwoody for 20 years and being very active in the community that I would know people at the meetings. I wouldn't have to just go and be a wallflower. And that definitely happened. It doesn't take long at a chamber meeting to see someone that you saw at a ball game for your kid or at some school function or community function. The other thing I like about the chamber that I didn't know before I joined and have since found out is that because it's new and we're not a huge city in Dunwoody, there's a million ways to get involved in doing what you like to do, and you can be as visible as you want to be, and people are going to know who you are versus going down to one of the huge chambers, maybe down at the Atlanta Chamber, which is great too, but it's a much bigger place for you to fit into. And so I like being in a chamber where you see a lot of the same people at the meetings. You get to know them as friends and partners and other consultants that you can bring in and to give for your clients. So I do like that aspect of it as well. I have I can't even remember all the different referrals I've gotten since I've joined. I just, go to one meeting and someone will say, I don't really have any work for a graphic designer, but a friend of mine is starting a business. Would you like to talk to them? And I'd say, sure. And then that turns into a referral. So I think for a company that's wanting to get out there in Dunwoody, I would highly recommend it because you will be very surprised at the diversity of the clients and customers that you might find in the chamber.
Something I'd like to say is that one of the things that we talked about initially was efficiency. How do you get from A to B in the most efficient way? And, speaking as a lawyer, one of the things I had to figure out was, okay, well, how do I start my own business? Now, there's a lot of that stuff I know, but the Dunwoody Chamber's website is like a one-stop shop in terms of, okay, where do I get my business license? Who do I talk to about doing stuff like this? You can save yourself a huge amount of time and effort because it's already built. You can just go there and it's all right there for you.
Outstanding. Well, let's make sure that our listeners have coordinates for Design 7.
Sure. My website is Design 7. It's all spelled out, DesignSeven.com. Actually launching a new website this week, so if you go there today, please stop by and go later in the week. It would be up, except I was kind of focusing on my friend here.
He was working on my website. Mine looks great.
Mine's getting there. And you can email me at Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E, at design7.com. And you can call our main number, 770-399-7779, and that will contact my cell phone, and I will give you a call right back.
Well, what a delight having you in the studio this morning. Thanks so much for coming. We got to have you back, both
Thank
of you.
Thank you. Excellent.
Love to do it.
Love to do it.
Debbie, kudos. But you're betting 1,000, lady.
I'm loving this. You know, and you can go to the Dunwoody directory, and it'll let you find either one of these two fabulous people on the website for the chamber as well.
That's right. Another Great. Advantage of joining the chamber.
That's right. That's why one of many reasons why people join.
Now, what's the website of the chamber if somebody wants to learn more?
DunwoodyCommerce.org. Let's get simple.
That is very simple. Let's get caught up real quick, make sure that we know about any upcoming events.
Absolutely. We have the State of the City that we are working with, the City of Dunwoody, obviously, February 19th, and it is going to be at the Crown Plaza Ravinia. It's a partnership that we have with the city, and we have been working on that. So that's one thing. If you want to still get a table or a sponsor, you can go to our website, or you can go to the city's website, or you can call us at the chamber. The other things I have coming up are the Dunwoody Chamber and Heels Luncheon. That is tomorrow, and it is at 11:30. It's at McKendrick's, and that's usually a group of professional businesswomen that are running about 25 to 30 people typically at that lunch. It's a great luncheon, and we do have a speaker tomorrow that is going to help you keep your New Year's resolutions, and our sponsor tomorrow is one of our website designers. It's SDOC Publishing. So that's the next couple of upcoming things that we've got going on.
Good stuff.
Outstanding show. Well, again, thank you all.
Thank you.
We'll definitely have you back. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor. Our guest this morning, Debbie Fuse with Dunwoody Chamber, Phil Gura and Debbie Smith, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.